Right. Mr. Bill Endersby, what's your full name?
Ernest William Endersby, but William was the bit I liked.
Right.
So now it became Bill.
Very good. And what is your current occupation, or if you're retired, what did you do?
I'm retired, and when I left school, I was for about 6 months I was an insurance company, which I disliked intensely, and then I went on to the Air Ministry, and well, I suppose I better carry on with here. This is Air Ministry. Up to 1939, I was in the Air Ministry, and then I joined up.
All right.
And it was about 1945 I came out of the RAF. Where do we go from there? And I came back to the Air Ministry. And for a little while, I managed to get over to the Ministry of Technology when it was formed. Do you remember the Ministry of Technology?
Mm.
It was supposed to open up this great big wide world of technology to the world. And I've always worked on a great wheel principle. You know, you come in at one point and the wheel goes around and you found yourself back where you started. So I found myself, the Ministry of Technology was mainly the old military research establishments plus the scientific and industrial research establishments, which went back into history. These two were amalgamated. Getting the idea was getting all of the research work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to sell all sorts of ideas to industry. Some were successful, some weren't. We managed to get new machine tools and so on. We offered these to firms and said, well, free year. If you want it, you have it. You can pay for it. If you don't want it, you can return it. None of them returned it. So we were a little bit of success. That sort of thing was going on,
mm-hmm.
Which I quite enjoyed. And then, as I say, the great big wheel turned, and I found myself back where I started. But it was now the Ministry of Defence.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So, and then I was there up to the age of 60. I actually ended up just down the road here in a place called Aquila, which was an establishment looked after the services, technology equipment, you know, trying to keep them up to date.
Right.
and generally vetting them all. It's dead now. That's another part of the big wheel. It's all gone round. They centralise, they decentralise, and it goes on and on. I'm sort of certain I've done so much, so it's going one way and then going back again. So that's it. At the age of 60, which would have been 60, 79, I came out. They wouldn't keep me any longer. I would have stayed on. I was very happy there. By this time, I'd gone through the ranks from a clerical officer up to an executive officer, up to an admin officer, and I was the senior admin officer down to this place of Aquila. And that's how that part ended, the work side of it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, well, I found myself plenty of things to do.
Sure.
Plenty. In the early days, it was keeping contact with the old establishment, and my wife and I used to arrange all the parties and things for kids. We had about first one we did was about 135 children for Christmas. That was one thing, and I used to be the chairman of the committee, and we had, you just name the activity, whether it was sporting, cricket, football, squash, or whatever, we did it. individual sections and so on. Photography, fishing, you know, mm-hmm. you mentioned that, they're all there. And that was, took up quite a bit of time. Then I packed up chairmanship and went and did the accounts. The main thing about the accounts was we had a bar, which was used very much by the apprentices. And so there was quite a lot of money going through there. We paid VAT and all this sort of thing. So that was a new world.
So you were pretty busy throughout...
That time. And then the establishment closed down. And so I was elsewhere. And we concentrated on the church mainly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do today, after all this time, is do the bookings for the church halls.
Still very busy.
Yes, plus a number of other things. I've got a choir I belong to, and there's no spare time. And I used to be able to do the garden, I can't do it anymore.
So should we just go back a bit?
Yeah.
Can I go right back to your date of birth and where you were born?
And
where you lived as a child?
Well, I was born in West Wycombe in Kent, the little village of West Wycombe before it became a part of London, effectively. And I moved away from there at the age of about four. And we went up to Catford. Incidentally, the little place I was born in, it had no electricity, no gas, no central sewage and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting, of course, was oil lamps. But it was, we as kids were happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether my parents were quite so happy, I'm not sure. But they treated us well. It was just my brother and myself at that stage. We moved up to Catford, got a slightly bigger house, which actually had electricity in it. And we let the top and let the bottom and lived in the middle. That's how it survived.
Mm.
And eventually, it was from there that I started off in Kilmorey Road School.
Can I just go back to your date of birth, just for the records of the interview?
Yes, 18th of August, 1919, just after the First World War.
Thank you.
That's my dad had just come out of the army. He was invalided out, having been wounded. And my brother was born in 1918. I was born in 1919.
Very good.
My sister was 1924, a little bit later.
And what did your parents actually do?
Well, my father was a gardener, and then he became a storeman.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the history of the family, really. My great-grandfather was a market gardener. My grandfather was a head gardener on an estate. And then Dad was also a gardener, is how he started out.
Right.
And my mother was, I'm most of the time, a housewife. She looked after her grandmother, my great-grandmother,
right, yeah.
Who lived with us. I don't know how we all got in this place, tiny little cottage. Let me think, where have we got to? 1924, when my sister was born.
About to talk about your first school. You're about to tell me.
Remember the first school. Well, the first school, primary school. This was Kilmorey Road School, an LCC school, and the good old tradition. Looking at history, I find it very, very difficult to remember just how we did things. But I do remember we got to the 11 plus and were able to answer quite elaborate questions on the past. And I think it was dealt with very much from... the idea of the very early people living in England, running through to the Romans and the Normans and all this sort of thing. I don't remember we did very much about the very modern history.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, we must have got through quite a lot, because I was able to pass the 11 plus, and in fact, the central school were selective schools.
Yes. Just on the primary, can you remember at all how you were taught history? Did you have textbooks?
We did have books. Yes, very, very, very tiny little, well-illustrated books with not a lot of wording to them, if I remember rightly. And
can you remember any of the names of them at all?
I don't remember
you
any
can't
of them.
Know. It's too hard, yeah.
No, I can't remember any names of there. Let's see, what else? We obviously were very much geared to British history and all the battles we won and so on.
Yeah.
The French wars.
And this was at primary school.
So primary school, yeah.
I think
I got most of my background stuff in the primary school.
All right, very good.
Because we taught a different way in the
right
later
okay.
on. It was from books mainly, and I must have absorbed most of it, because as I say, 11 plus.
You did well.
Quite good, yes, it all came out well.
Well, would you perhaps, shall we move on to after the 11 plus? Because I think that's where you remember a lot more, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
What sort
from
of
the 11 plus, as I say, the central schools were geared towards producing people for the city, commerce.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative was the technical schools for people going to technology.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two absolutely marvellous LCC schools. The entry to our school every year was 120 boys in three classes,
mm-hmm.
40 per class. It didn't worry me, this business of 40. I felt we were still well known, and we were well treated, and we could absorb all we were being taught.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the usual sort of order. There was a few people went to grammar school, and I'm glad I didn't go there, because they had about three or four people from each school going to the grammar school. We couldn't have afforded it.
Yeah.
The teaching, I thought, in my school was very much better generally. It was all masters. It was boys' school, majority of the masters had come through the First World War,
mm-hmm.
so they knew a little bit about life, mm-hmm. which they passed on to us, which was wonderful. The only other ones were a couple of ex-miners, and of course the ex-miners worshipped education. That was the way they got out of the mines.
Yes. Yeah.
But they were superb teachers. Now, I don't recall we had many textbooks for this, you know. We must have had some. But in general, it was off the blackboard.
Right.
And we would start, the object of the lessons was to deal with particular subjects like clothing, transport, and so on, and to take them right through from the beginning of time through to modern times. So you got your clothing, started off with woad possibly, skins, then ran through the early years, and always went through the Industrial Revolution, the spinning jenny and the Hargreaves loom and all that sort of thing. I still remember the rest of something.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then right up to modern fashion, but I can't remember that I studied much of that. But so, you know, it went right the way through. Same thing with transport, you know. You start off with the wheel, I suppose.
Yeah.
and the before the wheel. And we go through the gradually create the pathways and so on that were initially there. The roads, and of course the Romans came and made new roads. And we eventually got tarmac Adam roads.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the coaching days. Again, we suddenly ran into the Industrial Revolution with trains and water transport. And I won't say we got that much in the way of aircraft because it didn't exist.
Yes.
Hardly anyway. The first aircraft flew in 1902, but the first one recognised was 1902. And there were quite a few flying during the First World War. So there was quite a bit there, but it didn't come very much into our...
No.
But we knew a little bit about them from... we were boys, we were interested.
Yes. And so how long would you take to do one of these topics? Would that take a term or a year or a week?
Well, gradually, I think right through the school we were picking up a new one as we went along. That took us up to the fourth year when the majority left at the age of 14. They couldn't afford to stay, and my brother left at 14 and went into an apprenticeship, but I was allowed to stay on the extra year so that I could do the school certificate.
Right.
And that changed things a little bit because it was back to the old history.
Right.
But I found that if you did one period, and I chose it was Tudors and Stuarts, you could manage on that.
Right.
And I think that was normal. You could generally get by on dealing with certain blocks of history. And I got all I needed out of that.
Right. So you only did one year, really, of a kind of straight period of
that's
history.
Right. And most of that year, we... there weren't many of us left over, and half of them were doing, two-thirds of them, I suppose, were doing Chamber of Commerce. And the other few of us, I think a dozen of us actually, did a school certificate. And of course, school certificate in those days, I don't know what it's like today, I've got a rough idea. You took everything together.
Yes.
You had to do arithmetic or maths, English, a science, a language. I think they were the basic ones, and then you could choose, and it went through history, geography. We did bookkeeping, being a commercial school.
Mm.
I think it was a lot, that's six, seven. Well, I got 7 credits, I know, so there must be a lot.
And, why did you get a choice then to do history, and why did you choose history? Could you have chosen geography?
Well, it was just the subjects we did, history and geography. We'd done it.
I did geography as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course, science was pretty broad, and I was keen on biology at that time. I still am. And I found again that with biology I could get by very well.
Yes.
And later on, of course, all these were the subjects which were used in the civil service examination at that time. You did the lot.
Yeah.
I must have been very enthusiastic about biology because I think I'm second in England. But it was clerical at that level.
Yes.
And we were a year before the grammar schools. We we had to do it before because we couldn't stay any longer.
Oh, so you did it at 15 and not 16?
I left at 15.
Right, so you did school certificate.
And
that
I did
year.
The school, yes, certificate
that year.
In that year.
Just going back to how you were taught history, I mean, can you remember what how they taught transport, for example?
Well, I think most
they
of
just
it
taught,
most
they?
Of it was done on the blackboard.
Yeah,
quite
did
frankly.
They diagrams or pictures?
We've got not really. It was by word of mouth. I suppose it could have been diagrams on the blackboard, and of course we would have had little pictures, no doubt, of carriages and so on.
Right.
But I don't remember a lot of that.
No.
It was something which wasn't done anywhere else, and so we picked it all up from the blackboard, made our notes,
yes,
from the blackboard, and it were black. There was a blackboard then too.
And did you ever get duplicated sheets or anything?
No.
Nothing like that.
No.
And did you ever have any? Radio was coming in, wasn't it, in schools? Did you ever have any radio programs?
Radio programs didn't exist.
No, you didn't.
Well, I suppose. Well, it was. No, they didn't exist properly.
Right.
It was back in the days of very, very early days of radio. Anyway, so we didn't see that. We didn't do that at all. Can't remember any other things of that nature.
Any trips out at all? Ever?
Well, we. I think it was actually going back to the primary school days. We did a trip down to a place called Ypres near Bridport. Do you know that area? It's just a little bit further along the coast from you.
Bridport, yes.
Bridport, where we saw them making ropes and things there, and we went down. Again, this brings back to history. We went down onto the shore, and in the blue lias of masses of my memory, what do we call them now? Fossils.
Oh right, yes. Oh yes, that Jurassic coast. Probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was interesting. That again, historical. And we had a couple of masters there who. Again, enthusiasts. This was before I got to the secondary school, and they gave us a lot of notes to start off with: fossils, churches, and different design of churches, and so on. And they duplicated them on the old jelly. You don't remember the jelly?
No.
Well, I mean, we didn't have any other facilities for duplicating. And this one, you wrote it out on a particular piece of paper,
mm-hmm,
with a particular type of ink, turned it upside down on a piece of jelly, rolled over it, and then you took that off, and then you put a piece of paper down. And I've got it somewhere, and I thought, well, I'll try and find that. But
well, if you ever do, we'd love to see it.
Oh, I'll try and dig it out. I know I preserved it. In my old house, I'd have known precisely where to go for it. But it was very, very, very good, very useful. And they must have put a lot of work into it.
Fantastic.
A lot of work. And we lived in tents, you know, and they obviously were geared to us knowing, well, partly the history and partly the geography of the place. I have a golden cap. Do you remember a golden cap?
Oh, yeah.
And all those places down there. And we walked everywhere, of course.
And how old were you? This was still at primary school. How old were you then? About 9 or something?
That's right.
Yeah.
9, 10, something like that. Probably in the last year.
Mm.
They did that regularly, because my brother did a trip down in that area. It wasn't the same one, but down in that area.
Mm,
but they were useful. Now, when it comes to the secondary school, I don't remember that we ever went anywhere particularly.
No.
We went on our own, of course. My brother and I, let's face it, let's be honest with you, I was interested in all sorts of subjects. History wasn't necessarily the only one. history, geography, science, biology, as I say, particularly. They were all, I was a bit of an academic at that stage, just lapped it all up.
Great.
We used to go up to the museums in Kensington, science and natural history and all this sort of thing. And strangely enough, we went up with a friend on one occasion to the, what's the one that has all the fashions and the...
Oh, the Victorian
Albert. Victorian Albert. We looked in there and we thought, oh no, this doesn't look very interesting. Chap came up to us and said, now, what are your names? One chap was Jones. He said, well, I'll show you the Jones collection. And we loved it. It's quite extraordinary, really. I suppose he'd been about 13 or something like that at that time. So it goes to show us that you can make all sorts of subjects interesting.
Absolutely.
And that's the way I've lived life.
And so history, you didn't particularly like history, but you were quite interested in it at school.
I was interested in history, yeah. But,
what else?
I did make one or two notes, because I've got a memory like a sieve now. During that time we did have a school journey to Oslo.
Oh, really?
And down through the Kattegat, down to Copenhagen, and back through the Kiel Canal.
And did you
have
history?
That cost £5. They paid £6, and actually got £1 back. We went on an old trooper. But there was a certain amount of history to that. You see, we saw Hamlet's castle. got a little bit to know about Norway. I suppose it's more geographical than historical. It was interesting to come back to the Kiel Canal there, because that was used a lot and soon afterwards in the wartime.
Yes. And with the £5, was that, if parents couldn't afford it, was it subsidised at all or not?
Some did, but I don't know how they managed it, because it was Dad's pay for a week plus a bit.
Yeah, that's right. It's an enormous amount then, wasn't it?
I felt most grateful about that, and I was astounded. But we did it. I think it's about one of the few trips we did with the school. I can't remember going anywhere. We must have done something. But it escapes my memory.
So after a school certificate, you left. You didn't stay on to
sixth form. After school certificate, yeah. I went and joined this insurance company, mainly because I had to earn some money.
Right. Yeah.
And it was as simple as that. And I think first rate of pay was 25 shillings a week, which wasn't bad. It was good for that time.
Yeah.
And then I had 6 months there, and then I went over to the Air Ministry, which I had a choice of the post office in Croydon or the Air Ministry. And for a wee lad, 16, there wasn't a choice.
No, sure.
It was absolutely wonderful. I had a great time there, mainly in the signals department, where we dealt with telecommunications. I suppose that brought in a bit of history.
Yes.
Codes and ciphers. Remember in 1938 sitting up in the code and cipher room when all the messages were coming through just before Chamberlain, the original Chamberlain, came back with his piece of paper. But it was getting nearer and nearer to war. We were getting these codes saying for mobilisation reports and so on. For a wee lad, I mean, it's great excitement. And we did all the deciphering and so on. And then Chamberlain came back, and the war stopped. And then started again a year later.
Yes.
And from then on, I was really excited because we were very connected with radar. It wasn't called radar in those days. It was RDF, direction finding, radio direction finding. And I got lots of contacts down with the two chaps who did most of it, Watson, Watton, Bainbridge, Bell. They all had double-barreled names down. Bawdsey it was.
Yes.
Bawdsey down near Ipswich. And that's where radar started. My brother, actually, started off as an apprentice, ended up as a scientist in the radar establishment of Malvern. So we pushed our way up.
You did well, yes.
Hard work.
Just on history at school, do you think it was taught well? Did you find it interesting?
I found it was absolutely fantastic.
You like that method of teaching?
I loved it because, you know, it seemed to me it got to the way we lived.
Mm.
Everything that came up eventually was, here we are today. This is what's happened.
Yes.
And it's progressed to where we are today. All these other things were important, obviously, that we fought battles and the Armada and all this sort of thing. But this was down to earth.
Yes.
So it just registered with me.
So that presumably is I've got a question here. What sticks in your memory most from your history lessons? Would you say it was that way of being taught?
Well, it was that. In fact, it was the fact that it was dealing with all those things which we do today, but going right back to the beginning of time.
Yes.
With the currency one, quite fascinating. We would start with pebbles and so on, and go right the way through. Bills of quantities and all what was it now? I've forgotten my names and so on. I do forget things.
That's all right.
That's memory.
Fascinating. Lot of things you've told me.
Yeah. Venetians, you know, were great people in the early days of finance. And they started off these giving you a bill instead of having to pay cash for everything. Hence our checks, of course.
Ah, yes, of course, yes.
A piece of paper instead of a coin.
Ah.
And we went through all the pieces of eight and so on. You know what pieces of eight were?
Mm.
I'm sure you do. You must have gone through all this. I don't know what your specialities are.
Well, more modern history. Obviously, I was at school too, and we were taught those sorts of things as well. Do you think that the history you were taught at school helped you to feel proud of being British in any way at all?
I think so, in the sense that we seem to establish democracy. And of course, days when I was at school, we had the empire.
Yeah.
I think we were all very proud of the fact we were running the empire. We did a lot of terrible things we learned afterwards, but what we did was quite good. And later on, you know, when I was overseas in the Far East and so on, you'd come across these graveyards with people who had been very much in charge of the local district, the let me think. They might be the local British representative and so on. And they were dead by the age of about 30,
really,
from one disease or another. That impressed me, you know, that these people were prepared to go out there and do this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Time I got out there was much easier.
Yeah. And just out of interest, have you done any more history since you left school? I mean, have you done it, things like family history or the National Trust or
all that? Well, yes, I belong to the National Trust and the Heritage.
Yes.
What we used to do was wife and I used to team up with another couple, and every month we go to a different National Trust place, then go out and have a meal at a local pub. And we do it 1 month, they do it the next month, you know, and they make the choice and so on.
Right.
And that, well, I was really interested.
Mm.
Again, you see, it was life, as it was.
Yes.
My mother worked for a while, up in the big house in West Wickham. I think, I don't know what she was doing there, I think it was general in service.
Mm.
So getting that sort of thing in focus. You go into the kitchens and so on and realise just how they lived. That fascinated me.
Mm.
But that's what fascinated me more in some ways than the big battles.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I was interested in them all, you know, but they seemed a bit more remote.
Yeah.
Till we started finding them.
Mm. And do you watch TV programs or read books about history now, or have you?
Well, I look at very, very few plays, and it's all these documentaries for me.
Right.
Just what I like.
Right, very good.
Any documentary, almost any subject.
So you're interested in everything. I dive in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you'd like to say that I haven't asked you about?
In that sense. Well, of course, history. I got out to the Middle East during the war. I wasn't able to go down to the tombs and so on. I saw some, of course, of the pyramids and so on. That's history.
Yeah.
Was able to go down into some of them, see the burial chambers and so on. That was... I'd learned a little bit about that before. It's nice to come and see it in reality. I got some leave, and instead of going down south, we went up north to Palestine.
Oh.
And of course, this was biblical history. Mm. One was able to stand by the Jordan and the Sea of Galilee. You see, Mark, I'm very tied to the church. And so all these places that I read about, heard about and so on, they were there. And you'd see the shepherds leading their flocks over the hills. Nobody leads sheep over here. They push them on, don't they?
Mm.
But there they led them. The Bible says he will lead his sheep.
Yeah.
I wondered.
Yes, you
push
it a bit,
yeah. Why? Yeah. How'd they do it? He just called them, and they followed him.
Mm.
There were things like that which sort of came to life.
Yes.
We went to all the places. In a fortnight, we stayed one night in Gaza. In the Grand Hotel, which was neither grand or was a proper hotel. It kept us away from the services for a while. We went up into Lebanon, and that was in the context of modern history, it was nice to have that sort of background. You knew what Lebanon was like. Lovely place. Beirut, beautiful town.
Really?
With American University there, where we stayed overnight. It was delightful. And no big high-rise places and so on. So, but when it came up in history, or when it came up in daily life, at least we had a reference point,
yes,
back to it.
You have a picture of it.
Absolutely. And we went up into the hills, and as soon as you get across the border of Lebanon, you can smell it. It's the cedars of Lebanon, a wonderful scent. You don't get that sort of scent here. I mean, they're coming once, certainly. Well, there are lots of them. So it was sad when they were fighting over it. The Golan Heights and so on, it all meant something to us. That's history. And we could see how they lived. And they were, agriculture was primitive. But, you know, of course, the Israelis came in and things changed, didn't they? What a mess it is today. But at least we did understand what it was all about. And I thought of the poor old Jordan. There won't be much water left there before long. Went down to the Dead Sea and were able to see how their salt factories and so on were created. So that was a little bit of history there, which we read about, we saw, in fact, and we're able to follow modern history a little bit more closely as it's come up. So that's that was that time. After the war, I had 3 years out in the Far East. Well, history. Yeah, that was history again. Because Malaya was... belonged to us at one time. It got its freedom, Merdeka. So who I was trying to think, it was chap who founded Singapore. I've got his name now. But it was just a little patch of scrub, you know. And he's created it. He created it as it was then. Oh dear, his name escapes me. Did I make a note of it here? You know. Yeah, there no, I didn't. But anyway, the fact that he'd been able to create that place and why it was there became very apparent, you know, across ways for the traffic that was going through at that time, mainly sea. When we went out, we went by sea.
Right.
So
yeah.
I have done the journey by air, but it took about 3 or 4 days.
Well, no, that's all been really interesting, Bill.
Well, I'm glad if you found it history.
Yes, and I'd very much like to thank you for being happy to talk about all your memories of being taught history and being part of history too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we went up to Hong Kong, of course.
Yes.
That was part of my territory.
Oh, you saw it all.
Before.
Yes.
It was handed over. Yeah. Anyway.
So
we've probably had enough.
Well, we better stop there, but that was very interesting. Thank you.